reading the Bible for change, and again, the goal I'm looking for is to read better, learn faster, and remember more. Thinking about opportunities where there was times where there was reading in the Bible, obviously, if you go to Nehemiah chapter 8:8, it says here, so they built the wall, right? Everything was there, and then it came time to finalize everything, so they opened up God's Word. And it says, they read directly from the book, being the scriptures, in the law of God, and they gave it sense and helped them to understand the reading. When we're reading something, there's two ways to read it. There's a kind of an active way to read, and there's kind of like a passive way to read. Fiction might be more of a passive way where you're just doing it for entertainment, or, you know, you're in school. You're just reading the assignment because that was what you're given, whether you have any interest in it or whatever or not. Paul told Timothy in Timothy 4:13, he says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. So we can kind of see that there is some importance and stuff to being able to read God's Word.
You know God's Word, you know what's false.
Absolutely, you're going to know the truth, and that's an interesting thing, because we'll kind of get into that a little bit later about how to kind of handle that stuff. So, the next one that I was doing here is in Acts 8:27. So this is the story of the Ethiopian, right? And he's on the side of the road, and he's got the book of Isaiah, and he's reading it, but he doesn't understand it. Right. So it says, so he arose and went, and behold, this is Philip, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of her over her treasury and had some come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and says, do you understand what you are reading? And he says, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. So Philip then proceeds to go ahead and explain to him. And as we just got done with Isaiah, right? The book of Isaiah. What did we see that thread that went through Isaiah? Who did we see that?
Jesus.
Yeah, you see that picture of Jesus through that. You know, just kind of as a beginning there, I just want to cover a couple maybe myths about how we do stuff. You've heard of this thing where we learn, there's three ways that you learn. You can learn visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. You can learn by what you see, what you hear, and what you touch. And some people will say, well, I'm an auditory listener. Or they'll say, oh, you know, I'd like to get my hands dirty on this stuff. But I'm going to say one of the things they found out about this whole idea is it's a bunch of bunk.
What?
It's a bunch of bunk.
I don't know.
You may tend toward one. But in reality, you use all three of those senses when you learn. And I am basically...
I don't know. Give me directions.
Verbally.
I can't follow at all.
People just don't kind of get
stops.
It. They kind of need it in their version.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's what happens on sometimes when you kind of pigeonhole yourself. In saying I'm doing this is that you're not allowing the other elements to be able to teach you as well. This is more, I think, more of kind of a entire holistic kind of a thing. Not to be like on that one, but kind of a whole complete way of learning. We all do things in a different way, in different degrees. I'm not saying, so if you were only an auditory listener.
Well, that's true.
Then you wouldn't learn anything by touching anything. Or if you're just, I like
okay.
to do my
yeah.
hands. I'm just saying.
You're not only one.
You just need to kind of not pigeonhole yourself. And it allows you a better way to kind of, in God's Word, It says faith comes by hearing, so that would be auditory, right?
Mm-hmm.
The word of God. But it also says don't just be hearers, but be doers. And that's the kinesthetic part of it, the touch part of it, the action. And just kind of setting some of this up here for what we're going to get into. A myth too. How well do you know the scriptures and what are the workings of God? Those are kind of questions that you can ask yourself. And there is this thing, it's called the illusion of fluency, where if you're taking highlighting or taking notes, or you think that you've learned everything that you've learned, right? There's a fallacy in that. Highlighting is fine. If you're going to go back to it and look at it.
How can you know everything if the word is living?
And exactly.
You know.
Or if you're just, sometimes take, I don't know.
Well, I used to take notes, but then I never went back to them.
Exactly.
Or I couldn't read my notes.
Okay. So, a friend of mine's sister, she took voracious notes.
Voracious? You better define voracious.
She took notes on every single sermon that she ever, every class, everything. And she had, you know those banker boxes? She had like 10 banker boxes full of notes. That's a lot. That's a lot of notes. And at that point, it becomes, it really...
How are you going to find it again?
So if you're hearing and you're writing, that's a hear touch.
The benefit of it, the powers to be, always say that you do learn better when you've done, you know, your hearing, your seeing, and your writing.
Yeah.
You go home and you study what you just wrote down and you think about it and it's fresh in your mind.
Well, I'm just going home and just try to remember what he just said. That doesn't happen either, at least for me.
Yeah.
And it's in the morning, forget it sometimes too.
Sometimes you walk into the next room and it's like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
What was I doing again? So
I go home and I say, what was that? And what was his main point, you know?
Well, the biggest thing is if I'm trying so hard to write or to, I'm not listening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember what he just said to try to write it, and I'm missing what he's saying right now. So I don't feel like I'm present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On to the next part here. In a better way to read is to change your thinking will change how you read. And that's kind of what I'm going to get into here in a few minutes. This kind of a different, maybe it's a mindset you already have, but I just found it kind of fascinating, the ideas that went there. Think of books as training. The Bible is kind of our training book that God has given us, right? I have to say for myself, whenever I want to do something, like right now, Nancy's mom needs stairs on her deck, right? The ones that are on there are wrong. There's a 7-inch step, there's a 9-inch step, a 9-inch step, an 11-inch step.
Oh, goodness.
And that is dangerous, right?
As a sure-footed person, as I am, I've almost tripped twice, that's why I'm like, ah!
Yeah. I've never built stairs before, but I'm up for the challenge to do it. So what I do, in the old days, before YouTube, I would probably find a handyman book, right? One of those do-it-yourselfer handyman books that I'd go through and it would explain how to, it might talk to someone about it or whatever. I would gather as much information, and that's what I'm doing right now, is gathering as much information as I can. Obviously, now things have kind of changed over the years. When I was young, so learning how to play guitar, learning music and stuff, these were all things that I set out to learn on my own, learning them through books. Now, I could have just read them and go, oh, that's really nice. But what I read, I put into action. If there was something at work I wanted to accomplish as far as, you know, I wanted to know financial ratios or something so we knew the health of a business or whatever, I would find a way to do that. And I think when you get into the Word of God, there are things that maybe we want to accomplish in our life, that maybe if you approach the Bible in kind of that manner, with a purpose, I think that there is a great richness that would come out of your of that. A couple things about when you go into this realm is to look at like complex, how can you handle complex issues?
Break it down.
Or how to follow some kind of argument. Now, when I say we're not getting into a fight, but let's say you run into someone and you want to share your faith, yet they have an opposing view, maybe through the scriptures, through reading, through practice, or whatever, right? You are able to, you're prepared for that, right? Or maybe, I think one of the things that we may miss is understanding opposing views. I don't know if anybody's ever read the Seven Highly Effective Habits. It was a Stephen Covey book. And one of the things that really stuck to me was that seek first to understand, then to be understood. In other words, if you can understand the perspective of the person that you're arguing with, and then it becomes easy, and you, it becomes, it helps you in being able to express what you want. In other words, it isn't all, hey, this is what I think, and this is what you need to do, and da-da-da, right? So the shift is to be more of an active listener. Okay, so this is where we get to the thing here, and you're going to love this. So I'm going to cover five different concepts toward better reading, learning through reading, so that you're no longer a spectator, but then you become the actor, A-C-T-O-R. And I'm going to use that as the acronym.
Oh, boy.
Right?
A-C-T-O-R.
I will say, you know, for what he said, that technique and teaching is a pretty effective way of kind of doing that. So in this manner, we're talking about becoming an actor in that. Let's get into it. So the five things is to aim, compress, test, own, and run. That's actor. So the first word is aim. And Zig Ziglar said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Right? In biblical terms, there's a word that we have. It's called sin, right? Does anybody know what the word sin, originally the translation of that was?
Mm-hmm. So A is aim?
First one is aim. So aim, right? So sin is an archery term. And when you went to hit the target, when you aimed at the target, if you miss the target, they called that a sin. So when King James Bible was written in English, that concept of missing the mark is what we find is sin. So when you go into the first thing that you want to do when you go into whether you're reading, you want to start with asking yourself this.
Hello, ladies.
Okay, this is the key right here. You're gonna start with asking a question, saying, I'm reading this, it could be book, article, or chapter, because I need to fill in the blank. So that blank could be anything that you want to that you want to get out of a particular Bible study that you do yourself, or you want to read a chapter and kind of you kind of see the title and go, I'm reading this chapter because I need to, and fill in the blank. So what could it be? It could be maybe regarding relationships, right? The Bible talks a lot about relationships. Be about marriage. It talks a lot about marriage. You might want to say, hey, I want to read this because I want to know God more, know Jesus more. Maybe I want to read this passage or learn this thing because I want to be able to build my faith. You're kind of giving yourself, what you're doing is you're giving yourself a target to aim for. Again, when it says if you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it every time. Maybe you don't feel like you're showing enough mercy, so you can find examples in the Bible of that and study that. In other words, if you've got an issue in your life, use the book to go through and, again, start with this question that'll give you purpose in what you're reading. And I think that is the first step. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So maybe you're dealing with a conflict with somebody, right? Are there conflicts in the Bible?
Oh, yes.
Now, I'm not saying that you do exactly what King David and all those guys did and go out to battle and wipe out your enemy, but as Christians, we are to be a little bit more compassionate about that. But again, so again, we all know that Bible, again, the acronym is Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. A couple things about this whole thing also is, let's go to Luke 14:28. Are we there?
Yes.
All right.
What was it again, please?
Luke 14:28.
Thank you.
I think this is a good example of kind of knowing your purpose before you head out, right? Any volunteers want to read that up to 28 to 33?
I will.
Okay.
For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him or comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple.
So can you kind of see the issue, what's going on here is that what I see in this passage is before you head out, have a reason and a purpose and make sure that you are prepared and ready for that.
Well, it's like if you started on something and you didn't count the cost or plan it out, you would come up short, and that's when you do those five trips to Home Depot.
Oh, that's right. So the stairway that I'm doing, I've got it drawn out, and I've actually I understand why the stairs that are there are 7, 9, 9, and 11. And number one, the 9-inch stairs are a big step. And it's for her mother, right? And
she doesn't have to do it anymore.
She doesn't have to do, but a 7-inch stair is a good size to have for a stair. Anybody have stairs in their house?
Well, I mean, I have to walk up one.
I bet if you measure them, they're going to be 6-7 inches. Not that you're going to go out there today.
Yeah, but maybe I'll go tomorrow.
Go out there and measure and see what they have there. It's like we go to Michael's over here. And the stairway is really good until you get to the last step. And it's probably this much off.
It causes a misstep.
So when I was in high school, I did drafting, and I did some architectural drawings and stuff. And one of the things I did learn, it's like a thing that, one of those, I don't know why it's sticking in my brain, but stairs have to be even. Anything more than 3/4 of an inch, your foot is going to be able to...
Would you see that thing with Stephen Curry? Stephen Curry started shooting the basket and wasn't making baskets. They went and measured it, and it was the hoop was not the right height.
He had it
because he knew he's a monster shooter of all time. But when he said there's something wrong, he measured it.
Right.
And he was right.
So after we have our aim, after we've asked the question, I want to read this because I want to get this out of it. The next thing is kind of an interesting concept, is to compress what you've read. I'm thinking, well, I want to get as much as I want to get out of this. And so the example that was given was that take a tree, right? A tree is the trunk.
The branches.
There's the branches and the leaves, right?
Yeah.
The trunk is the core thing. Think of that as like the main idea. The branches become chapters, and the leaves become
pages.
They become the ideas, the thoughts, all the examples and everything like that. A lot of people will read only picking the leaves. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I like this poem. I like this poem. This sounds good. But when we talk about compressing, we're going to read this thing and we're going to compress it down. And Richard does this for us. And you're going to go, what? It's something like you read a chapter, and then what do? You write a...
Five word.
So, I mean, he really makes you really work it down. But, you know, you could write a sentence.
Synopsis, is that what he calls it?
It's a synopsis. So, basically, what we've been trained is number two here, right? Is to get down that main idea. Because once you kind of have the main idea, everything else will fall into place. Having an odd quote here... an odd example here, like, for example, I just gave you an example of a tree. Now, if I only gave you the example of a tree, would you know that what I'm trying to teach you is about how to read better? No, you'd think, oh, he's talking about...
nature.
About arborism. Mm-hmm. Arborist. Arborism? I don't know.
Arborist,
no, yeah.
Arborism, yeah.
So, yeah, think of the trunk as the core idea, branches there. So let's go to Psalm 1. We'll just go ahead and read just verses 2 and 3. Anybody volunteer?
I'll read.
All right.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers.
Awesome. So what I see in here is that the psalmist here, he's delighting in the word of God, and he's meditating on it. He's thinking about it. And what is the result of that?
Fruit,
yes. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Therefore, as you've received a Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in faith, just as you were taught, always abounding in thanksgiving. There is one part of this tree that we didn't talk about, and that's the root. And that root is what is the foundation. And when I think about looking at this idea, Jesus is that root, the foundation, upon which that core idea comes, of which we get different kinds of concepts like life, death, marriage, dealing with family, and then all the little examples and stuff there. So we've aimed, right? We're looking for our purpose. We're going to take that and we're going to go through and do a reading, reader, whatever. And then we're going to compress that idea so that we have a kind of a core idea of that. The next step after that is to test what you've read. You're going, So I thought about this. Have you ever heard this one? Without a test, there is no testimony. The test that you're going to do when you're doing that is you're going to look at what it is and see if what you've read is valid. We talked about that earlier, right? You want to read something, you want to know if it's true or not. And I think in some respects, not so much out of the Bible, because we have faith that it is all truth, but there are authors out there that write books, right? Christian books. I think this is a point where you really want to test what they talk about. You could easily be led astray. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was a lawyer, and he set out to disprove Christianity.
Oh yes, I remember that guy.
Do you remember who that was?
I can almost see his face.
Evidence without a verdict or something. I was trying to think about it. I didn't have time to really look it up today, but he set out to test the Word of God. I think when we get into this part as mature Christians, we've kind of done our test in our reading a lot. Think about a new believer. They've come from a secular life. They've done things in a different way, non-Christian ways. And then they become a Christian, and then they read something and they go, you ever read something in the Bible and just said, whoa, what is that all about, right? You kind of, sometimes you just seems out of place or whatever.
Especially when you're a new Christian.
When you're new, I would say as a baby Christian, it's probably one of the more important things. You've got kind of, let's say the aim was I want to build my faith, and yet they go through and says, you know, so they kind of came and compressed it, and then they go through and I remember way back when I was in leading a fellowship in Ocean Beach, and this guy, he was so worried about the unpardonable sin. He was afraid that he had done the unpardonable sin because he didn't really understand what that was. He thought, he could have done something, it may have been some kind of evil act in his life. It could have been, he came from a drug background. He was, you know, coming sober through that whole thing. He could have been a thief or whatever, and he's thinking that he's done all these bad things. And he's thinking, did I commit the unpardonable sin? It's really simply this.
Do you believe in Jesus, son?
The unpardonable, the one sin that cannot be pardoned is the one where you absolutely reject God's plan of salvation. You dismiss his gift to you, and you throw it in the trash. That's the only thing that he can't. I mean, you know, you don't like to hear it, but you know, like some of these evil leaders and things like that, or Manson, these guys, they're just unpardonable sin.
But sin.
But if they had a true conversion, I mean, look at Paul. Paul.
You killed Christians.
He was a murderer.
Yeah.
He killed people. Did God forgive him?
Yes.
His sins were forgiven. And I think he had a lot of sin. And that a lot of sin, kind of like, once that weight is lifted off, that is a big burden taken off. So in Romans it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Even the Bible kind of says, be conformed, be changed, move forward. Also, Romans, it says, so faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. We talked about that a little earlier. We hear it. As we hear it, we learn it. Our faith grows. It's not instant. This is a good one. Paul talking to the Thessalonians, whatever you want to say. It says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. So he's telling the church there, even when we're reading and we kind of see, you know, snake charmers or snake handlers and what do you call the people that roll around like worms and stuff, you know, I they call it an expression of faith, but, you know, God calls for some orderliness, but I also got to think about what is the core of Christianity, right? The core of Christianity is Jesus is our Savior, that we're sinners, we need to be saved. Again, the gospel. The big one that, and we run into a lot, is this misunderstanding of Jesus' position in the Godhead. And that's the difference between a Trinitarian and a non-Trinitarian. And so someone say, oh, the word is not in the... Well, the concept is there of Trinity. But Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons, they are non-Trinitarian. They do not believe that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. They're separate.
I wonder if why they, you know, how they just
so they can be God to their own world.
And that's that is a big dividing line between like Christian and their Christianity. Obviously they added a book there. And finally, when we come to testing, it says here, now the Berean Jews were more noble characters than those in Thessalonica. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. We've gone through that. Through our aim. We've kind of compressed down that idea. Now we're going to kind of test this thing. Maybe a test might be, I'm going to read this and I'm going to try it out and see what the result of it is. Maybe it's an experiment in giving, or maybe it's an experiment in I'm going to show mercy and let's see what happens on that. So now let's move on to the next idea. And that is the O in actor, and that's to own it, okay? So they did this experiment, right? And they had two groups. In the one group, they had them read this chapter or whatever. And the first group was instructed to read it through 10 times. Just read it through 10 times. And then the group two, they told them to read a portion, like maybe a sentence or two, then look away and think about what they just read. And then just move on to the next one. So And I would say, like when we do Calvary Chapel style sermons, it's verse by verse, verse by verse. We'll talk about a verse and then expound on it. A verse, expound about it. So think of that the same way when you're reading, right? I'm going to go through, I'm going to read this section. It says to meditate on God's word. So meditate on that portion there, that sentence that you've just read. And what they found is that group two read it through once, yet had higher recall on what that passage that they had just read than the people who just read it 10 times.
Even though you read it often.
Reading,
you weren't absorbing it.
It's not like they didn't absorb it. They just didn't absorb as much as group two. So reading it 10 times could be kind of more of a passive way of doing it. I'm just reading it, I'm reading it, I'm reading it as an exercise. The second group literally did it with a purpose. I'm going to read it and understand it. It says Psalm 1, 2. We just read that. What does that say? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law does he meditate day and night. This idea of meditation in today's world, right? It kind of has a new agey kind of idea where, oh, we're going to empty our mind and do this, you know, escape from the world. But really what we want to do as Christians when we meditate, we're going to be mindful about what we, when we're meditating, be mindful about what you're doing. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, meditate upon these things, give yourself wholly to them, that by that your profiting may appear to all. Sometimes reading, you might recall a situation that maybe is appropriate to whatever it is. Are you kind of getting the idea here is that you're kind of diving in with not just reading it through, but kind of interacting with that. What I'm talking about is kind of interacting with what you're doing.
So give an example of that. And you're interacting, you're reading, and you're, so the meditation is the interacting?
That's kind of, yeah, it's an interaction where you're, okay, I just read, well, let's say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and the law does he meditate night and day. So you think about, well, there's some kind of delight in reading God's word. You know, maybe it's a good idea to have a constant perspective of meditating.
Yeah, because you can have that great feeling of, like, just for instance, a Bible study, but you should be able to, like, pinpoint what that was exactly, instead of just having that feeling, oh, that was joyful.
Yeah.
You should already know what, joyful because I read the word, but what part, you know, maybe what feel joyful.
Created that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of just leaving and.
So one of the suggestions, some of you might just shiver in your timbers on this one. After you've kind of gone through, you've got your part and you've got the core and you've kind of tested through it, see if you can teach it to someone. So what am I doing today? I learned about something this week and I thought about it. I went through and, you know, even though it was about reading in general, learning and reading in general. But I'm thinking, okay, maybe I want to, I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking, how could I use this to read the Bible better? And so, teach it to somebody.
Yeah, or just sometimes somebody that you go with, hey, I missed church Latin yesterday, what did I miss? You know, you should have an answer.
Yeah, oh yeah, we sang a song and prayed and...
We did Isaiah.
What chapter was it? Yeah. Okay, so if getting in front of a bunch of people and sharing is not your thing, the guy actually had a couple suggestions. He says if you don't have somebody there, just teach it to yourself in a mirror.
Okay.
But I thought of something else. Maybe you could write an essay or an article on it. I know it kind of sounds a little bit like when you're
writing. Well, that's how you get to the writing part. See, you heard it, and then more writing is the visual.
Yeah. And so, also, as you write something, and if you can share it with somebody, that's a mode of teaching as well.
Yeah.
The book is teaching you. It's something that was written. So it could be that, or, you know, maybe record what you're doing. But it says if you can teach it, then you can own it or share it, right? Sharing your faith. If you share your faith, you can own it. It's a way of owning that faith as well. I'm not saying I'm going to strike up a, what was that thing? The learning annex? Remember the learning annex? Did anybody remember the learning annex? It was like adult education, but it was like a private thing, and you can you could learn about bookkeeping or relationships or all kinds of stuff there. You don't need to start a class. That is one thing, is that when you teach something, when you share it, you're going to retain a whole lot more. So finally, the A-C-T-O, and the last one is R. You ready for R?
Yep.
Let's hear, I'm ready for R. All right, so run. Okay, okay, run.
Run with it.
Run with it, okay? Yeah. So the idea was this, is that you think of the concept of having a software update to your own brain.
Sometimes those software updates make things get hidden.
Yes, but if you do it right, some software updates are there. I know I had that one nightmare week where it's every computer I updated gave me an issue that I had to fix. I spent like a whole day getting things squared away. So I know you guys can all testify to this. If you disagree with this, you know, you can raise your hand or whatever. The Bible has been able to rewire the way that you think and act. Is anybody in disagreement with that?
No.
Think about who you were before. Think about where you are now. Think of that journey you've gone through. And think about how you got there. Did you just sit there and, well, I'm done. You're in home fellowships. You read. You come to Bible studies. Sometimes you go to retreats and you do activities and things like that. When it comes to the last part of it, after you've made your aim, after you've compressed that idea, after you've tested it, after you own it, you know, I've got this. Owning it means you have confidence in it. Run with it. Do it. It says in James 1:22, but don't be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In other words, it says Luke 11:29, but he said, yes, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And finally, Colossians 3:17. I think Nancy likes this one here. And whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That is kind of that thought of, okay, let's move forward with it. Last scripture. 1 Peter 3:15. Go ahead. Who wants to read?
But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect.
Absolutely. I think one of the end goals here is once you have this knowledge, this understanding, you honor Christ. And if you need to make a defense at any time, have you ever had to defend your faith? Someone says, oh, this and that, and you go, oh, this is the way it is. But just to recap.
And with gentleness. I remember that part.
Yes.
Instead of arguing.
So there was, the King James also says, the King James says meekness and fear. You're thinking, oh, meekness and fear. Well, I think the ESV had with gentleness and respect.
Right.
So we know that meekness is kind of that readiness under power. It doesn't mean Wilbur Milquetoast, who's everybody whips
well,
on him, right?
Plus, a lot of people today are doing their own interpretation of the Bible and saying different things, and you're saying, I've never read that in the Bible. Where did you read that? And they can't show you. Because they heard somebody on the radio say it.
And that's true of anything. So that's what I have. Just to recap, get a name, compress it, test it, own it, and then run. And what does that spell?
Actor.
And that means that you now become the actor in the book.
And the Bible is basic instruction
before leaving Earth.